Okay. This morning we'll be in chapter 20 of Genesis, starting with verse 1. And Abraham journeyed thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister?' She herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said to him in a dream, "Yea, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, you and all your that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What is this you've done to us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, 'This is the kindness which thou shalt show to me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother.' And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them to Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.' And to Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to you a covering of the eyes and unto all that are with you.' And with all other, thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife." Not too long, but it's got some good stuff in here. We go back to the first verse again. And Abraham journeyed, or started on a journey, from there. Where was he at? He was where? In the Negev, in the desert. And he started a journey. Okay? And he journeyed toward the south country, which was the desert. Excuse me. And dwelled between Kadesh. And what is Kadesh? It means sanctuary. He was somewhere between the sanctuary and the what? The wall. The wall in a desert. Okay? between Kadesh and Shur, which was the wall in the desert, okay, and sojourned where? In Gerar. What is Gerar? Okay, but it's a Philistine thing, okay? Rolling country. It was Philistine country. So what's Philistine speak of? The ites in a land. So he chose to stay in this desert place of the Philistines, which is rolling in the sand, right? Now he's on a journey. Do you realize what we are on? We're on a journey. Abraham's life is our life, and we started out, and we're somewhere between the sanctuary called home, okay, the kingdom of God and our Father, and we're somewhere between here and that desert. It means we've already come through some of our experience, but we're still in part of the desert, okay? Still going through our testings, and we're in this Philistine country. And Philistines representing the ites in the land, And everybody knows there's ites in our land, isn't there? It's in our thinking process. Go to Deuteronomy 7:1 and you'll get the list of the seven ites there in the land. Okay? And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. "She is my sister." What did he just do? Huh? He told a half-truth. And see, that's something we have to watch about when there's ites, when we're in the land of the ites. We can justify. And justifying is what? It's just a lying. See? He was trying to justify himself for what he did to preserve his life. So what was the driving factor in his life? Fear. He was afraid that he might die. But my gosh, I always hear this is faithful Abraham. Can you have fear and be faithful? Faithful means being full of faith. If I'm full of faith, do I have room for fear? I don't have room. If I'm full, I don't have room for anything else, do I? So faithful Abraham is not yet faithful. So if you think that you have not met the requirements of faith yet, don't feel bad. Abraham didn't either. Okay? It's a process. He's on a journey. You're on a journey. It's a process of growing into this. And by the end of his life, you know what? You'll see a whole lot more faith in him. And by the end of your life, there's going to be a whole lot more faith in you. And by next time we see each other, I expect to see more faith in all of you. It's a process. You're not going to stay the same. The only reason you stay the same is when you die. You just sit down and die. There's no changes anymore. And I know there's going to be changes in our lives, isn't there? Okay? And Abimelech, what's his name mean? My father is king. You know what? God's king over all of them. He don't just own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the hills and all the cattle, don't he? There's nothing that God doesn't own. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, and what's Gerar mean? Beg your pardon? Well, Gerar can mean that, but he's the king of the Philistines. He's in those ites. He's the king over those ites. Okay? He'd be the top ite. How's that? And he took Sarah. Now, the ite is what? What does an ite really represent? A thought in the mind. So the main thought, this top ite, this king, took Sarah. So the mind actually takes over what? The thought process, which is the soul. He takes over the soul. These thoughts start consuming the soul. And he took her and do what he wants with her. That's what he planned to do, wasn't it? Because he'd been misled. And he had been misled. But God came to Abimelech. This word God here is who? Elohim. Not Yahweh, it's Elohim. And Elohim came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are but a dead man." Why? Because the woman which you have taken, she is a man's wife. She's already taken. Okay. Now, do you think he's just talking about Abraham and Sarah? What God is saying right here to Abimelech is this. Adam, you can't have my wife. She's my bride. Did you hear what I'm saying? This is a picture of you. And God's saying to that carnal mind in you, you can't have my woman. She's my woman. She's already another man's wife. Christ's bride. Do you hear it? This is what he's saying to you. You can't have her. You might take her for a season, but you're never going to take her and defile her because she's my bride. And didn't he say he had a bride that was spotless, without wrinkle? Do you see that? He can't have her. When you realize he can't have you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to walk in freedom. When you know, this isn't for naught. I'm going to know it. You're going to be the first one to know because you're going to hear God speak it to you. Oh, it's beautiful pictures. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, here's a Philistine king speaking to God and calling him what? Tell me he's not the God of all." Huh? He knew what to call him. He knew who he was. He said, "Will you slay a righteous nation?" He even knew his nature. And yet the people today that are supposed to be kings and priests under our God is saying, God's going to kill all these bad people. And God's talking to a wicked Philistine king. And he says, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation? That Philistine king knew, guess what? That God was righteous. How come the world don't know God's righteous? Because the church does not portray the righteousness of God to them. Benjamin Franklin had a saying, and when I heard the quote, it stuck with me just like right in my heart. I'll never forget it. Because everybody says, Ben Franklin was a heathen. So what? So were all of us. Right? If it wasn't for God, we'd be the same place. But you know what he said? Belief in an evil God creates evil men. You hear that? If I think God's evil, what am I going to be? I can do it because God does it. God doesn't do those things the church world says, does he? Say, God is love. They'll say, God is love, but he's going to burn you all in hell. Well, don't love me that much, if that's what you're going to do. If that's love, don't love me. Remember that. Belief in an evil God makes men evil because they got a justification in it. And he said, will you also slay a righteous nation? Said he not to me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity or in the innocency of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. You know what? This Philistine had more character than Abraham did. He had more character than Abraham did. That's amazing to me. You've heard me say it before. I can go out and find more nature and character of God and people living on the streets than I can in most churches. I can find that. I can talk to people out there that are truthful and honest and have integrity, who won't lie to you and cheat you and hurt you, more in the street than you find in the church. That's sad. That's really sad. But it's the truth. And here's faithful Abraham, his wife, lying and deceiving. And God said to him in a dream, yeah, I know what you did. I know you did it in the integrity of your heart. And because of this, I withheld you from sinning against me. You see who he said you were sinning against? God. Therefore, I permitted you not to touch her. I never permitted you to do it. Then who's in control of this stuff? Well, then where's the thought process come from that the world teaches, the church teaches, that you have a choice? Don't work, does it? He kept the king ite, from the top ite, from messing with the woman, right? Well, God's in control. Verse 7 goes on and says, at this time, restore, and restore is not a good word. It should return to the man his wife. Return his wife to him. Okay. Only for a very short season did the woman get separated. But was she ever defiled? God wouldn't permit it. It's his bride. See? His bride will not be defiled. If I'm truly the bride of Christ, can I ever be defiled? Nope. Can't be. And when I become the bride, and this is something we have to understand, I can be the bride and I can also be the son. But I got to be the bride first so that I can produce the son. Because it takes a woman to produce the son, doesn't it? See, so I have to become this bride first, or have to be this bride, so that I can produce the son. Okay? But he said, restore this wife, his wife, because he's a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you return her not, know you that you shall surely die. Here's what it should say. When it says, you shall surely die, it should say this. You shall die the death. You and all that are yours, you're all going to die the death. And therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all of his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Fear. What do you think would happen if in the greatest realm of the heathen world, that the leaders of the world would actually stand up and say, What would happen if George Bush came on the TV today and said, God just spoke to me? I'm not talking about smoke now. I'm thinking, what if it really happened? If God said to George Bush in a dream last night, George, you've got to restore all this stuff you've been destroying and stealing and taking. What do you think would happen if he stood up and said, God has just changed me, and I've got to go back and restore all this stuff that I've done? What would it do to the world? Huh? They wouldn't know what to think, would they? But here the leader of the thieving pack just went back and said, hey, I'm guilty. I've got to restore the thing because God said, I can't touch it. What would happen if something like that happened? I think it'd be amazing. I'd like to see something like that. I'm not going to hold my breath. What would happen? But see, the fear would come upon men. If the president of the strongest nation in the world would stand up and say, there really is a God. Not in the hypocrisy that they do and play religious church. You know, I'm not talking about that, but actually honor God in this thing. Don't you think there'd be a fear come upon everyone else? Congress and the House, yeah. Congress and Senate. Oh, boy. So Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And what have I... What? The word offended really isn't a good choice of words there. It should say, what have I sinned against you? What sin have I committed against you to make you want to do this thing to me? That you have brought on me and my kingdom a great offense. You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. You know what? I was talking to a man this week, and he said, mentioned something about people, what quote Christian people and everything. And I said, you know, the meanest people I've ever met on the face of the earth are Christian people, church-going people. He looked at me like, what did you just say? And I said, what's the matter? And he said, aren't you a preacher? And I said, yeah, I know them pretty well. I know church people. Been involved with them for years. And I said, they're the meanest people, meanest-spirited people in the world. And isn't that what it's saying right here? Abimelech said, here I am a heathen and don't worship any god, and you're supposed to be God's man, and you're out here deceiving me and lying to me and getting me and my whole family, my whole relation, my whole kingdom cursed by God because of your deception and lies. Here was a righteous man rebuked by a heathen. Was it not? Took his door down for him. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what sawest thou, or what did you see? What made you do this to me? What made him do it? Fear. Fear will make you do things that you would never ever dreamed in your life. See? What is fear? False evidence appearing real. It's not real. It's a falsehood. Why would you be afraid of something that's an illusion? Why would I be afraid of it, Mike? Is there any reason to? If you would listen to the conversation of people through the world, I'm afraid of this. Oh, my gosh. There's a storm coming. Yesterday, Lois and I went to the grocery store. You couldn't hardly get near the grocery store. There was a big storm coming. Well, there was about 15 snowflakes out there on the parking lot this morning. Most of them melted before y'all got here, wasn't it? That was that big storm that everybody, they thought they was going to starve to death and had to buy everything in Kroger's grocery store yesterday because they might not make it till today. And I guarantee you, the biggest part of them could have skipped a whole bunch of meals. Wouldn't have hurt them a bit. And here they're in there buying, this cart, and they're just like fighting over the food. Like, God, there's big shelves full of it. What are you fighting over? See, fear will make you be so irrational, it's unreal. Let people do that. We got to watch that we don't do that. And then Abraham comes to his time of confession here in chapter 11. And there's going to have to be a time in our lives we have to do the same thing. We have to confess the things in our life. Proverbs says, if you confess and forsake your sins, you'll be forgiven. Okay? We've got to confess and forsake. I can say, you know, I got this problem, but if I don't forsake that problem, would I ever get rid of the problem? I got to do both, confess and forsake. But here Abraham comes along and confesses something. Abraham says, because I thought. See? Well, look here. As long as I'm thinking, have I come to a conclusion yet? See, he made a conclusion out of false evidence. He started assuming in his mind that if Sarah is so beautiful that they would kill me to take her. Was he that ugly? I don't know. Was he so ugly that they're going to kill him to take her? I mean, what's the deal, you know? I'm just making a joke. I'm just being light about it. Come on. But he thought that they might kill him. This is his justifying, okay? Listen to his justification. We go through these same things. We justify things. Well, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Okay? Is that a legitimate justification for lying? There is none. Because justifying is just a lying. And then verse 12, he goes on and says, and yet indeed she is my sister. Here's his justification coming out. So this is what I did. Now I'm going to tell you why I did it. She is my sister. So he says, well, really, I didn't lie. I just bent the truth. I got a friend I know that says this. He said, I won't lie, but I will make up the truth. And I think that's what he's doing here a little bit. He's twisting a little bit. He said, indeed, she's my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this kindness which you shall show to me at every place whither we shall come, say he of me, he is my brother. Now, who caused him to take off and leave the father's house? He said God caused it to happen, didn't he? So who's in control of everything in our lives again? God is. It's a nice way to explain God's work. God caused me to wander. And I say this, in what he said in the last part of verse 13, he said, this is a kindness which you shall show to me at every place whither we shall come, say he is my brother. And I say this word, I'm not a bit bashful about it. Abraham was a coward. He was willing to give his wife up that his life would stand. Let her go through anything as long as I live. Is that a hero? I don't think he'd come to maturity yet, had he? I don't care what his age was in the natural. He had not grown up maturity-wise in the spirit because he was still a coward in his life. Still trusting in the natural, fear of giving up his natural life. I don't think he'd become the sacrifice just yet, had he? And Abimelech took sheep and oxen or cattle and men servants and women servants and gave them to Abraham and returned to him Sarah his wife. So Abimelech was absolutely what? He had the character of a godly man. He was obedient to God, exactly what God said to do. And he even gave him some sacrifice. He said, here's some stuff to go on your way with, some food, some animals. Here's some servants to help you do your stuff. See, he went overboard. There's a man given from his heart. And you know what that's a perfect example of? That's the Gentiles coming in. When the Gentiles receive and hear from God, what are they going to do? What are you going to do when God speaks in your life? You're going to respond. When God first talked to him in Genesis 14, what happened there? Did God tell him to give a tithe of everything he had? When Melchizedek showed up on the scene, by the way, it wasn't to collect tithes. He wasn't running around with the basket saying, what you got for me? He showed up with bread and wine to serve Abraham. The greater served the lesser. Hello? Isn't that what happened? And this is the same thing that's happened here. This king is serving a man who's wandering in the desert. What do you think that looked like to everybody else in the kingdom around? And here comes this old wandering man coming in with his wife and a few people straggling behind him, and the king begins to serve him. Wow. You know why? Because there's a lot of sons out there in the Gentile world right now that don't know their sons yet. But when God speaks to them, just like he spoke to Abimelech, they're going to remember who he is. Because he didn't hesitate to say, Lord, did he? They're going to wake up. They were hearing intelligently because it had nothing to do with them. God created the hearing ear. Didn't even know it. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. And to Sarai said, Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Now, who would that represent? It's redemption from Christ. Yeah. Where? Her brother. Because he was still a brother to her. And I'll say this much. Any man that was married to his wife and was so fearful for his wife in the natural that he would give her up to save his own life, do you really think they were married? What do you think? Huh? There was no relationship yet. It wasn't yet a marriage. See, when those two become one, I can't let my wife feel pain or be hurt in any way because that's me. Is that right? If I'm married, that woman is me. Sure, Adam died for his woman. And we have to be able to be the same thing. Abraham wasn't there yet. He just wasn't there yet. He's on his journey, remember? We start out in the first verse of the chapter. He's on his journey. He's not quite got to the tabernacle yet or the sanctuary, has he? When you get to the sanctuary, you'll be all right. You'll know it. He said, give 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to you a covering of the eyes and to all that are with you and all. And those two words, let me break this last little part down. It says, and with all other. There's two words in there that shouldn't be there. It should say, and all. The word with and other. The two words on each side of the word all should not be there. Okay? It should just be, and all. They're with you, covering for your eyes, and all that are with you, and all. All, everybody. Who's that leave out? None. I hear reconciliation ringing in my ears. Thus she was what? Well, the word reproved is not a very good word. It's justified. She was justified. He told her, said, hey, Abraham is the covering for your eyes. He's your covering. Christ. Okay? He's your man. And so she was reproved. You know why she was reproved? Tell me why she was reproved right there. Because she had lied. She lied just like Abraham did. Didn't he say to God, the woman said herself that he's my brother. Didn't she lie? Huh? So she had some reproval there to come too. So Abraham prayed to Yahweh, Elohim, really, it's Elohim, excuse me. He prayed to Elohim, and Elohim healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. God had stopped all the reproductive services because of what he was about to do. Stopped it. The house become fruitful because they heard God and obeyed God. Because the Lord, Yahweh, had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of the words of Sarah, Abram's wife. Now Abraham did something. Now look where he puts the blame again. He said, because of the word of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now God's saying this. He's saying, Sarah's wife. Now why was Sarah's word so important? Now listen to me. She reinforced the lie. She could have spoke the truth, couldn't she? She could have said, nah, he's my brother, but he's really my husband. Couldn't she? But she went along with it because of pressure. Okay, like peer pressure. He's saying, look, you know, you gotta, if you love me, you gotta do this for me. Hogwash. You don't gotta do this. You don't have to lie, do you? You don't have to lie for nobody. Just tell the truth. I know it'll be painful at times, but tell the truth. Because that's why he says this here. Abimelech's wife, it would all have been closed up because of the words of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Because of what she said. She confirmed that what Abraham said was truth. And it was a half-truth at best. Wasn't it? So when we deal with people, should we be in half-truths? Should never be in half-truths. Okay? Well, chapter wasn't too long, but there was some good stuff in it. I'm finished. Oh, okay, just that.